go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, once again we come before You and thank You for the day that You have given. We thank You for the blessing of being in Your house. We pray that You be with those that are absent and speak to their heart as the need is. And we ask the same for ourselves. We thank You, our God, for the songs that we have sung and for men who have had them in their hearts, even in times of difficulty. Help us to hide not only good songs, but the Holy Scriptures in our heart, so that when trials and afflictions come, we would look to that rather than to our own selfish self and gripe and complain and be despondent because of what we receive. Thou art God, O God. Thou art the God of gods and the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And we understand not Thy will and Thy providential dealings with us. But we know that You're good, You're just, and You're right. So help us to conform to Your way of thinking and to crucify ourselves, that we may honor You in all things. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible, you may turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. I may come back. I'm not sure about prayer and fasting. I may preach another couple of sermons on that. But I wanted to speak about something that I've spoken about before, about 7 years ago, in fact. So this is nothing new. But in light of our current status in our society, economically, morally, and spiritually, I want to speak upon this in such a way to help us to hopefully be more prepared for trying times. It was amazing how many of the songs this morning that were referenced to that. Yes, 33. Ezekiel 33. Sorry about that. Ezekiel 33. I'm going to read most of the chapter, if not all. And then we'll come back to verse 10 with the expression, "How should we then live?" Some of you, it might strike a chord. Several years ago, Francis Schaeffer put out a film off of a book that he wrote, and the title of the book as well as the film was "How Should We Then Live?" Talking about the crumbling of our post-Christian era. But anyway, it was a good book, and the movie that was created off of that, actually it was a documentary, was good as well. Israel was in captivity. Jeremiah, the preceding Ezekiel in the order of the Bible, had prophesied of Israel's fall and that they would go into Babylonian captivity. And so Ezekiel was over here in Babylon in captivity. And God speaks to him. And he says so in the first chapter of the first chapter of Ezekiel. But in chapter 33, again, the word of God, word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Now notice the setting. People are in a land. They've got people watching on the watchtowers, and they see the enemy coming. They blow a trumpet that the enemy is coming. And if a man doesn't get ready to fight and he dies, the man who blew the trumpet, he's without excuse. But if he doesn't blow the trumpet, then he is accountable to God. Now, we're setting the trumpet blower, not a prophet in Old Testament times, though that's the analogy here. He's the modern-day preacher. The modern-day preacher. A lot of times people say, well, if you're going to preach the gospel, you don't have to worry about what's going on out in society. Yes, you do. And if a minister knows what's going on in society and he doesn't warn the people, then he's a false prophet. There's plenty in the New Testament that supports this, but we're trying to limit it this morning. But the purpose is not to condemn anybody or make anybody feel bad, though if God makes you feel bad by the message, then take that up with Him. That's not my intent. My intent is to prepare, and to show you how to prepare yourself a little bit. I don't remember whether I stopped off at I think I stopped at verse 4. Verse 5, He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. O thou son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. But if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked man from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. See, if you know someone is going to destroy themselves and you don't speak, you're accountable. You are your brother's keeper. As John Donne said in his famous poem, no man is an island entire, or I don't think, no man is an island unto himself. Nevertheless, verse 9, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? Here they were. Here we are in captivity. What are we going to do? We're in captivity for our sins. What are we going to do? Verse 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? There's the first thing that you need to do to prepare yourself for trying times. Repent. Clean up your life. Verse 12, therefore, thou son of man, say to the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. In other words, you say, well, I've been doing pretty good. I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to change. Yep, you do. Or you'll die. Here's a wicked man out here being wicked. He said, man, you know what he's saying is true. I need to straighten up. He'll deliver himself. When I shall say to the righteous, that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, nor for his iniquity that he hath committed, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that which he hath robbed, walk in the statutes of his life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Yet, the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. Talking to someone recently, because of trying times in their life, they want to blame God, angry at God. I said, what you need to do is repent. God's right and just in all of His doings. And God will be right and just. If he doesn't repent, if a man doesn't repent, turn to the Lord, he'll be destroyed. I'm talking about not necessarily, though it would include that eventually, salvation from hell or not. Not because he turns, but because of God's wicked righteousness. But I'm talking about just everyday temporal life. You're either happy in the Lord or you're miserable. And the way some people walk about and the looks on their faces, they're miserable. And the reason is they're not right with God. I mean, you think about that man in China that we spoke about earlier. I think it was 20 years he spent in that jail, unrighteously, and yet he sang that song. All the way, my Savior leads me. All the way, my Savior leads me. Happy in the Lord. Let's go back to verse 17. They say the way of the Lord's not equal. The Lord said, no, your way's not equal. Mine's right. Verse 18. When the righteous turneth from his iniquity and committeth iniquity, when the righteous turneth from his righteousness, I'll get it right in a minute, and commit iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. You see, even daily deliverances are in accordance with how you are spiritually. Your daily life is going to coincide with how you are spiritually. Let's drop down to verse 27. Say thou thus unto them, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely they that are in the wastes shall fall by the sword. And him that is in the open field will I give to the beast to be devoured. And they that be in the forts and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. Now notice that. If people are not right, they may even be killed by the sword. They might be out and trying to escape out in the wild, and the beast get them. Or they might be in a holding up in a fort somewhere. They die of some sickness. And he said, I will give the beast. I will give them to the beast to be devoured. God is in control. Verse 28. For I will lay the land most desolate, whether it's the sword or the beast or the pestilence. And the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord. Notice, God said, I'm going to judge Israel, and when I'm through with them, they'll know. And when God is through with the individual, they'll know who God is. They might wind up being like Nebuchadnezzar, like an insane person eating grass and sleeping outside. Then shall they know, verse 29, that I am the Lord when I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of their houses. Now notice, they're speaking about Ezekiel. Now, I want to stop here for just a second. Keep your finger there if you're going to turn. If not, just write it down. I'm going back to Ezekiel chapter 3. And God tells Ezekiel that he's giving him a difficult time, a difficult assignment. And he says in chapter 3, verse 7, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. Ezekiel 3:7, God tells them, they're not going to listen to you. Now what it means by listening to them, they're not going to do what you say. For they will not hearken unto me. See, if someone won't listen to God's preacher, they won't listen to God. For the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint, I have made thy forehead. Ezekiel, you're going to be hard-headed. You've got to be hard-headed to put up with it. You might understand why a lot of preachers are hard-headed. It's bad when the hard-headedness goes into sin and stubbornness. in a bad way. Everybody ought to be a preacher for a month. But you can't. Because you're not called, and women can't. Though some try to go against God. As an adamant harder than flint I have made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Now, this is what God tells Ezekiel at the beginning. Now we're in verse 33, and he said, they're talking about you, Ezekiel. They're talking about you. Now, what are they saying? Let's go back to 33:30. Ezekiel 33:30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people which still are talking against thee, or talking of thee, really, by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak every one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what the word of hear what the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Let's go hear what God has to say. Verse 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Oh, boy, we love to hear Ezekiel. He can tell it so well. He's a good speaker. He's a good player. Listen to those words. Don't they sound good? And they get up and go back to their covetousness. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Say, well, that's Old Testament. Go to John 8. I'm reading a lot of verses, but I'm setting a background, foundation. John chapter 8. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Somebody's walking in darkness, living in wicked life. I don't care if they've joined 13 churches. They're walking in darkness, and they know not God. Verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou beareth record of thyself, thy record's not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Anybody that knows God, the true God, knows Christ. Anybody's worshiping a false god, they're not worshiping Christ. All of the religions of the world can get together and have their interdenominational worship, but it's not of God. I heard recently on the news that a Hindu priest prayed a Muslim or did a Muslim worship or prayed a Muslim prayer from the Quran. That ought to tell you something. The religions of the world will get together. In this case, both of them were wrong. Verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of the world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So now why did you read that in connection with Ezekiel? Well, in the light of the life in which you live, you're either going to stand up for God or not. You're either going to stand up for Christ and you're going to warn people of their sinful ways, or you're going to compromise with them, and you'll be destroyed in the midst thereof. Now, I'm not saying you go out and grab a hold of somebody and buttonhole them on the street corner, but I'm saying if you love somebody, you'll warn them. And you'll warn them what's coming. And you'll try to encourage them to seek God with a righteous life. I'm not talking about righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Christ of that nature. But speak and live in a way that is honorable. And then also you'll take heed to the man of God. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 20. Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. If Jesus sends someone to preach and you receive that individual, you have received Christ. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Jesus said, if you are mine and you believe in me properly, then you're going to receive the preacher that I send. So when you take Ezekiel and you take the New Testament and you put the two together, you see that nothing has really changed. A man is either a prophet of the Lord, a preacher of the Lord, or he's not. And if he is of the Lord and he gives you warnings, you better take heed to the warnings that he gives and the encouragements and the messages and realize that they are of God and that if you just go on your way and never try to improve, then you have rejected the message of God. I will say this, having said that, I would trust that at least your prayer life has increased some in the fact that you have tried to increase your prayer life some from the messages that I sent. If you just said, well, he's been preaching on it and nothing's changed, then I'll let the Lord talk to you about that. Now, here's the foundation from Ezekiel and John. And our verse is in Ezekiel 33:10, and the latter part of that, how should we then live? Not only in what Francis Schaeffer called a post-Christian society. That is, a society that is no longer influenced by biblical or Christian ideology and principles. Whether he's right or not, I'll let others refer to all of that. Or whether you're living in times of trials and afflictions and persecution, as Ezekiel was, and Daniel and Paul and others. Or whether you're just living your everyday life, if you expect to be delivered, and I'm not saying that you would have everything easy. Just got word recently of two men from Grace Chapel that have lost their jobs. One, thankfully, his will carry on to August. But it's going to get closer and closer to home. I had good friends that in high positions at Whirlpool that lost their jobs. Thankfully, I still have one. Our country is in debt. And I recently read that our country is so much in debt, not only by the so-called bailouts now, but the other $800 to $900 billion that's going to be proposed by the new administration, that each citizen of America, that our nation is in debt more than the combined wealth of each citizen of America daily. Those numbers are astronomical and I can't even comprehend them. I can't comprehend them. So how are we going to get out of this mess? Well, I know one thing, you can't borrow yourself out of debt. And that's what's being done. And so everybody, instead of biting the bullet and say, let everybody stand on their own for their own wickedness, and if the company fails, let it fall, and if the bank fails, let it fall, and so on. We still keep trying to prop up indebtedness. You say, well, God's not interested in money. God condemned Israel when Jeremiah condemned them for their reprobate silver. What does that mean? It's devaluation of their money. I don't know what's going to happen. Frankly, I thought in the 80s we would not even be allowed to vote for presidency by this time. Thankfully, I was wrong. There was a great change in the 80s from several different reasons, I believe. And God may have given a reprieve. But I do know this. God will not be mocked by any nation. You say, well, God's not interested in governmental affairs. He told Daniel he was by the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. And he said by Jeremiah that any nation that forgets him shall be destroyed. He didn't say just Israel. He said any nation. And therefore, we are on the brink. We are on the brink of destruction. we need to be assured that we are living as God would have us to live and not the way we want to live. And the way to do that is not to live by our feelings, but to live by discipline. Discipline yourself to do what we ought to do. If our country had disciplined ourselves years ago, there would be no indebtedness except in providential dealings where sometimes it's unavoidable. Hospital expenses. That's one example. That's under the providence of God. But a Christian is under God's authority to live according to the commands of His Word. You only have the right to obey God. That's the only right He's given you. But I want, yes, we all want. You know why we all want to do our thing? It's because we're sinners. You say, well, I know that we ought to live by His commands, but how's the best way of doing that? The best way of doing that is daily, to daily bathe your soul with the Word of God. If you daily spend some time with Him in His Word, He's going to talk to you. He's going to talk to you. He said He would. He said He would. If you're going to reject Him, He will reject you. God will not be mocked. It is a sad commentary on Christianity when many who profess to be servants of Christ live more like the world than the Word of God. You know, there are some people that profess to be Christian that I see worldly people that live better than they do. That ought not to be. That ought not to be. I'm just talking about an outward life. There must be a difference from the world in our lives, or we will be in bondage with the same mindset and the same emotional ideology and ways as the world. There must be a difference. If you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and you should never want to hurt anybody's feelings, but if you refuse to talk about Christ simply because you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, you've already lost the battle. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of Me, I'll be ashamed of you. You say, but it might come down to my job. Or not, it might do that. We can't compromise with God. We cannot compromise with God. As I said, our text finds Israel in captivity. And God instructs both the prophet and the people as to their responsibility before the Lord and each other. There's a responsibility to the prophet, from the prophet to the people, from the people to the prophet. God put the responsibility there. The prophet is to be faithful to sound the alarm concerning the judgment of God. The prophet is to be faithful to sound the alarm of warning to the people of God. If he doesn't do it, he is an unfaithful prophet. Now, the prophet must realize that he can't make the people do it. When I first started preaching, I thought it was my job to see to it that people obeyed the Word. And I was in great bondage until I realized that's not my job. I can be faithful to preach. I might even preach something that would make you mad. And you might say, I'm not going to do it. But if I have been faithful to preach, the blood's on your hand, not mine. If I'm afraid of your faces and I'm afraid somebody's going to get mad at me and I don't tell them what the right way is, then the blood's on me, not on you. Or whomever it is. Would you like to talk to the Lord and Him say, why didn't you talk to so and so? You knew. Why didn't you talk to them? Now, you must be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And you must choose the way you do some of these things. You can't do more harm than good by just being mean-spirited or appear to be mean-spirited. But in light of the message, not only preachers should sound the warning. We all should. And we should not be afraid of the economy. We should not be afraid of the powers that be. We should not be ignorant of what might be. There are several things that are being lined up to bring our country into destruction and or under bondage to a world government. And you can be assured, of one thing, your evening news and your major newspapers are not going to be giving you the accurate story. And all of these religious assemblies that have their 501c3 nonprofit categories from the government so they can get their tax exempt and not have to pay taxes, they're going to have to either be silent and not speak to keep their religions going, or stand up and lose. Because it is by design to keep the preachers out of politics. I'm not talking about politics as politics per se, but it is by design to keep the preachers from giving the warnings. If the government has to say whether you are a church or not, the government can tell you when you're not a church. So the prophet is to be faithful to sound the alarm. The people are to take heed to the warning given by the prophet. You say, well, maybe the prophet's wrong. That's where you have to study the scriptures. That's where you have to study the Scriptures. What if he's wrong about what's going on politically? Ask him. Read what you find. Do your own study. But in both cases, the Lord instructs each, the prophet and the people, as to how they are to live in their present condition. Now, we're not in bondage as Israel was. We live in a world whereby few understand our convictions and desires to live unto the Lord. Few understand your convictions, particularly if you try to stand for the Word. Few understand your conviction. And often we become so hardened in our sinful desires and conformity to the opinions of the world that we neglect what the Lord has told us to do in the Scriptures. I know I've compromised at times. And I say that blushingly, but it's the truth. I don't want you to think that I am one that has escaped. I need this as much as you do. But it's all because we become hardened in our sin and we worry about the faces of men rather than the face of God. To secure the peace and blessing of the Lord in our lives. To secure the peace and blessing of the Lord in our lives, we must live under the authority of God's Word. That's it. We must live under the authority of God's Word. And you will not have the joy and the peace of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord in your soul, your soul will be dead and dull if you're not living under the authority of His Word. You'll wonder, why am I so dry? Why am I so indifferent? Why am I so... Simply because you're not under His authority. You're under your own authority. You're wanting to do what you want to do. You're not wanting to submit to authority, the authority of His Word. Now, what is the lifestyle of a believer? We'll say more about this, but we'll get started on it at least this morning. We'll say more about it later. Paul wrote to the saints at Rome. You remember who was king at that time? Nero. Nero was king. If you were to study the lives of Augustus, Julius, Nero, Tiberius, Caligula. Not a very pretty picture. Very, very vile, some of those very wicked, lewd individuals. But he told the saints at Rome that the gospel was the power of God that delivers the believer from bondage. Romans 1:16. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel is power. Does the gospel get you off dead sinner? Does the gospel have any effect in your life? Paul said, the gospel is the power of God that delivers the believer from bondage. As with Israel of old, the prophet of today, the ministers whom God calls, are to lift up their voices like a trumpet and sound the alarm. For deliverance. Not to try to make somebody feel bad. Not to try to put somebody down. But for deliverance. The gospel minister is the happiest when people are delivered by the message. And the believer is shut up to the Word of God as to how he should live. How shall we then live? What does the Bible say? Well, it says one thing to you, says something else to me. No, it doesn't. It says one thing. It says what it says. When it said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, that's what it said. And that says that the heaven that we have, and the heavens that we have, and the earth that we have, God created them. He didn't blow up something. And when it said Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, it meant what it said. What does the Scripture say about the death of Christ? When it says that there is only one God, then you can't say that anything else but Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is the one and only God. That's all you can say. That's what the Bible says. And then when it says women are not supposed to be leaders and teachers in the churches, that's what it means. I don't care how many decrees they write. That's what God says. When it says the qualification, one of the qualifications of a minister, he must be the husband of one wife. He must be the husband of one wife. It didn't say she must be the wife of one husband. I didn't make the rules. God did. And I'm not faithful if I don't speak what God says. When it says, gives the authority of the household, God gave it. It wasn't something that man just worked out in society. The believer is to live and is shut up to live to the Word of God as God says that he should live. Now, we'll look at that a little bit more this afternoon, but I'll give you a brief overview. If you want to deliver your life, lose it. If you want to deliver yourself, give up self. That's what it boils down to. Let us pray. Father, the Scriptures are true. You are true. It is man who is the liar. We want to think that our case is different, and you'll look upon us differently than you will somebody else. But you said, I don't care how right you live, if you do wrong, you're going to suffer for it. It doesn't matter how wicked a man is, when he does right, you'll honor him for his right. We know that ultimate deliverance from our sins and from the eternal wrath is by the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that. We also realize our current lifestyle is reflective of how you have worked in us or not worked in us. But I pray that you would bless us to prepare ourselves for life by preparing our souls before you. We do not know what we shall face. We have no idea, though we may think we have some ideas, and we might have some general ideas. We might be able to see what society will have somewhat in general. But when it comes down to particulars, we do not know. And therefore we pray, deliver us from evil. Bless us to have the privilege, though we do not deserve it, of leading a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And as we daily read and study your word, bless us with some insight as to what you would have for us as individuals. Not be reading it for everybody else or anyone else and thinking that we hope this or would like to see that one come to this position, but what you would have for us. Give us wisdom, O God. Give us understanding. Give us discipline. And bless us to love you more than we love ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Anyone have a song on your heart?